Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. What's it like running for governor?
I don't know.
We got a guy who's running for governor on the phone now, Bob Stefanowski. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
And lady.
You a Yankee fan?
A little bit. I'm a big Giant fan, New York Giants, but I do like the Yankees.
How are you a little Yankee fan?
He dabbles.
You're tall.
You know, baseball,
you're a big
Yankee
fan.
I don't know.
Right.
I just find football more interesting to watch.
Okay.
I got you.
Not your game.
Yeah. Well, the Giants this year anyway. Yeah.
No, I like that he's not getting on the bandwagon.
Exactly, right. Being honest.
You know what I'm saying? I'm a Yankee fan.
Right.
It's a smart move because then I could follow up with a question.
Right.
Yeah. Like if you asked me about the game last night, I would know nothing.
I didn't watch it. That was
I
a smart answer.
It.
Right.
It's always good to be honest because then the follow up could destroy you.
Yes.
Exactly.
I learned my lesson on that.
Just say Nestor Cortez looked great if anyone asks you today. That's all you have to say.
You said you learned your lesson. What did this happen to you?
Well, I still remember when I got caught on the, I guess it's not lying, but I caught on the stage when they asked me my favorite song in 2018.
Oh, that wasn't lying.
And I said, happy birthday. That's not my favorite song, but right. I should have said, I don't know that much about music. I'm not sure what to say.
Nice.
I guess, I don't know.
I think happy birthday was better.
Yeah, it's a great song. I mean, when it means
you're
birthday.
Celebrating
it's
someone's special day. One word in there that's controversial.
Right.
There's not a line that could mean one thing or another.
Wait, why are you happy? Why are you happy in a world like this?
You know, at first I thought it was funny. And then I was like, that was actually brilliant.
Now look at you.
Just start doing the hokey pokey if they ask you again.
Right. Turn yourself around. That's what it's all about.
You guys teased me for weeks about that. And now you're nice to me about
that. That sounds like us.
That's us. That is us.
Yep.
The last time we were going to have you on, we were going to ask you about this Saudi Arabia thing.
It
seemed like that was a big deal. And then it just, it vanished.
It's a non-issue. I'm working on, it's the world's largest renewable energy project. It's three companies coming together. The project's been praised by John Kerry, who is President Biden's climate change czar. I'm proud to be involved in this project.
He was Ohio away from being the president, by the way.
Well, he still says it under his breath. Ohio away from being president.
And it happens to be located in the Middle East because it's powered by wind and solar, and it's sunny during the day, and it's windy at night, so it's the most efficient place to put it. So if Governor Lamont wants to criticize me for helping solve global warming, have at it. So it's a non-issue. I think that's why it hasn't gotten any traction. Do I agree with what's happening in the country of Saudi Arabia? No. You know, we need to protect people's human rights. But I'm working on a project that's going to help ultimately make energy prices lower. And instead of taxing diesel fuel and gas like the governor does, I'm trying to help find a solution. So, that's why it's a non-story.
Did you have an event with teachers where you were waiting for him out front and he went in the side door?
So I'm in there, right? And there's a line of teachers that want to talk to me, so I'm trying to be patient. And finally, a very nice woman comes up to me, says, I'm sorry, I'm your security guard, and the governor is waiting outside, and he won't come in until you leave. This is a true story. So I walk out the front door, and straight ahead of me is the governor's, the black van. So this teacher followed me.
Wait, I thought he drove a Chevy. Well, he did, but
Chevy,
broke.
Chevy, yeah, exactly.
Chevy is just fine.
It broke.
This is fine for me. I don't need an SUV, but right. Must have broken. But I kind of knew. I got to tell you guys, I kind of did it on purpose. The woman was very nice. She had a very long story to tell me. So we stood by the entrance, and for 30 minutes, and he was afraid to get out of the car. And then I see the Tahoe. I don't know if you guys have ever been. I forget the place, but there's two entrances. I see his Tahoe go down to the other entrance, and he starts walking in. So I yell at the top of my voice, hey, Governor, the main entrance is over here, because the press was there waiting for him to come in. And then I left, and Chris Keating wrote it in his article. He asked the governor, why'd you come in the back door rather than the front door? And the
governor did have a good answer.
I thought it was easier. There was less conflict. So
he said it seems more peaceful.
You have 250 teachers in there waiting for him to talk. and he waits 30 minutes because I'm standing there. I mean, and this is the governor of the state of Connecticut. I couldn't believe it. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Were the teachers receptive to you?
They were very. I mean, you know, it's a mixed crowd. There's a lot of Democrats in there. But I'll tell you, Chaz, I had four people who came up to me and said, you know, you changed my mind today. And you know what's doing the best thing for me? I don't know if you've seen the commercial with my kids and me. Because Governor Lamont,
I was going to bring
me,
this up because I know I'm friends with two Democrats. One loves the commercial because he thinks it's a good commercial for you.
Uh-huh.
One hates it because he thinks
Governor
it's
Lamont
the dumbest thing ever.
He's painted me as this extreme, nasty. You guys know me. You may not agree with everything I say, but I'm a decent guy. I grew up in New Haven. I got three kids. I got a wife. I'm trying to help the state. You may not agree with everything I say, but there's no one who knows me that says he's got another commercial out there. Was he Stefan Nasty or something like that?
Stefan Nasty?
Wow.
He's got an older woman say, based upon how Bob's campaigning, we should call him Stefan Nasty. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I do get a kick out of the commercials. Especially when they run back to back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, the hard part for me is I got to get people to take a bit of a chance. I mean, people know the governor. He's been on for 4 years. But I say to people, if you honestly think it's cheaper than 4 years ago, and you honestly think it's safer, and you honestly think school's better and parents have more say in their education, vote for Governor Lamont. I don't know what to tell you. But I'm telling you guys, I haven't seen a lot of people that feel that way. It's time to take a bit of a risk and try a different approach. I've got a plan to fix it. And give me a shot. Why wouldn't we give me a shot, given where we stand as a state right now?
Bob Stefanowski's on. He's running for governor. Were the teachers receptive to this whole deal where you don't want teachers telling kids about sex ed?
I think half of them, I almost got a standing ovation. Half of them clapped, and a lot of them were silent. That doesn't mean they disagree, but I fundamentally think we got to get school back to teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. And if you want to talk to your kids about whatever at the kitchen table, do it at the kitchen table. But a kindergartner who can barely tie his or her shoes, in my opinion, shouldn't be talking about, you know, sexual ID and gender preference and all of that stuff. I don't think it's appropriate for that age. Junior high school, should there be some sex education? Yeah, but don't jam it down these kids when they can't understand it. Now, if a parent wants to do that, that's fine. That's up to them. But we got to let parents start raising their kids in our state, and we're going to do that when we win.
Somebody's on the line, Tony from New Haven, asking about Lamont's wife taking COVID money.
Well, listen, you know, I've now disclosed everything. I mean, they've given me a root canal in terms of my disclosure. I've disclosed my clients. I've disclosed my taxes. I've disclosed Amy's taxes. Governor Lamont gave his wife a $26 million COVID contract, a company owned by his wife. He's sitting there with emergency authorities in the middle of COVID. He can do whatever he wants. He gives a no-bid COVID contract testing to his wife, $26 million. And when he's caught, he says, well, I'll tell you how much I made on it, and I'll give it to charity. You know when that was? 2 years ago. So he hasn't disclosed how much he made. When he filed his return, he filed married, filing, single. How many people do you know that file their tax return married, filing, single? And you know why he's doing it? Because he doesn't want you to know how much his family made off of Annie's business. And I don't have any problem with her doing business. This is not an attack on his wife. She should be able to do whatever she wants. But when the state of Connecticut gives her a contract, we deserve to know how much we paid.
You okay?
I mean, guys, this is... I mean,
no, I know. I'm trying to do this without taking any sides.
Can't, guys, but this should be a 30-second discussion who we pick for governor. And you know me, I'm not arrogant. Look at where we are right now. We've had 12 years of a Democratic governor, 40 years of a Democratic legislation. How can we not try for a change, a legislation?
I want to go back to...
How can we not try for a change?
Right? I hear you. And just so everyone knows, we invite Governor Lamont on. He's always welcome.
Yeah.
Right. Will we come in on November 7th?
I asked him. I don't think so.
Can I come in?
You're both invited.
Yeah.
And whoever takes us up on it.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I bought the Rock'em Sock'em Robots game, as you know.
Oh,
I bought
cool.
it 3 years ago. I'll bring it in case you guys don't have yours.
I think we still do.
Yes, we do.
It's been used in the last three gubernatorial elections.
Yep.
So we were talking about the commercial. I just find them fun because when you're making a commercial, you get to say whatever you want.
Uh-huh.
And so let's start with some of his, like record deficits turned into record budget surpluses.
Goodness.
What do you think?
Oh, I thought you were going to play it.
No.
Listen, guys, if I gave you $6 billion from the federal government, you think you could balance your budget? He got $6 billion from the federal government, and that's not monopoly money. That's our federal tax dollars. So it's like a shell game. They took $6 billion of our federal money. They shifted it to the state. He raised taxes by $2 billion. Of course the budget is balanced. The problem is we're sitting with a $5 to $6 billion surplus in the capital right now. I've got a plan to give $2 billion of it back.
So he said it's not 5 or 6. He says it's like $2.3 billion because he put $4 billion into the teacher's pension.
You know what? Three months ago, he was bragging that it was $6 billion. I've got the tape. Then I say, give some of it back. All of a sudden, it's not $6 billion anymore. It's down to $2 billion. This is classic politics. All of a sudden, the number changes. So we should give that back. We should lower the sales tax. We should freeze property taxes. We should work with Eversource to get rates down. Rates are out of control. You've got people filling half of their oil tank right now because they can't afford to fill it all the way up and still afford food. That's a rainy day fund, right? That's what it's called. And I hate to use the analogy, but it's raining on a lot of people right now. It's our money. It's not his money. He should give some of it back. Massachusetts just did it. Charlie Baker gave an instant refund of a couple $1,000. We should get that money back to people because people are hurting right now.
No, but didn't he just do that? Didn't he do some tax rebate? It was funny because I thought, a tax rebate?
He may have given a few $100 back to certain categories of people, but this should be going to people that have paid those taxes, people that can't afford to heat their homes right now with electricity prices going up, starting to get colder, and we're sitting on $6 billion up in the dome. I don't understand it.
Bob Stefanowski's on. We're talking about the commercials that run, that he's running against Lamont. Lamont's running against them.
Right.
Do you ever look at your radio and like yell at it as it's saying stuff?
I do.
I got to tell you, the one that bothers me the most is the lie he's been telling for 9 months now, which is I do support a woman's right to choose. Roe v. Wade, codified in Connecticut state law. It's not going to change. You will see commercials over the next 3 weeks from him blatantly lying, trying to scare people. Whether you agree with me or disagree, that's the fact. Our law is not going to change. I do think parents should have a say in that decision. In Connecticut, there's no parental notification over abortion. So we need parental consent to get a tattoo if you have a daughter. I think if a 13-year-old girl is up there making that decision, that a parent should have some involvement in that. Unless you have incest or rape or some really horrible tragedy like that, and then you have an alternate process for kids to talk to. But he calls me extreme, Chaz. He's the extreme one.
You've done these bus tours. Have you come across any good food?
Oh, my God. I put on 10 pounds.
Really?
Everything. Yeah. And you know I'm on the bus with Sasser. We both sleep on the bus.
Oh, right. Sasser is an eater.
He snores. He's a snorer.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a back kind of bedroom, if you can call it that. And then there's this little compartment over the driver wheel which comes down. So he's actually elevated. He's hung from the ceiling. And the sound effect of that is the snores come right into the room in the back.
Yeah, close the door. Start the bus. I can drown the snoring.
Yeah.
I got a picture of him. I'll text it to you when we're done.
Oh, it's perfect. Cold snorzer.
Yeah, so you've been you're eating on the road a lot.
Yeah, we do like three diners. We do 30 towns in 3 days.
Oh, but I love diners.
But I'll tell you, getting out there, it's great to meet people. People are struggling right now. I mean, everybody's happy and everybody's being positive, but people are struggling. You know, 65-year-old guys, you know, working two jobs when they thought they'd be retired because they can't afford to pay the bills. Crime, obviously, out of control. And people aren't happy about education right now. They want their kids to learn a skill and be able to go get a job. They don't want to be talking about these social issues in school.
You're doing a good job at pulling us back to your talking points.
Well, you know what, guys? I can fix it. And when I get a chance to get in front of the tribe, I don't want to, you know, make this my stump speech, but I don't have a lot of opportunities to get in front of people and tell them what's really going on, especially the tribe.
I'm
sorry to sound like a politician.
No. That's
this is
fine.
An important
and
election.
Just so everyone knows, the governor is always welcome.
Yeah.
We never say no.
Nope.
And we ask.
The polls have tightened, too. Even these public polls, which have been wrong. There was one over the weekend. We gained 12 points in the last 5 weeks. Poll came out, has us 5 points down. Our polling shows it within the margin of error. So please, please, people, get out. Get 5 people to come out. It's going to be +2 or -2 this election.
Be a squeaker.
All right, Bob. Thank you. Our friend David Rush, who we've had on the show, and he set some crazy goal to break so many world records in a short period of time. Do you remember what that was?
Yes, he wanted to do one a week for an entire year.
Well,
he's at it again.
Okay.
Broke another record.
What do you break now?
Guinness World Record for the most lit candles in his mouth.
It's amazing that there are these records out there.
Right. What was the one with the peas that he did?
Oh, he ate a bunch of peas in like a minute.
No, but he did it
with a toothpick.
With a toothpick.
Yeah.
Individual peas.
Yeah, individual
with
peas.
With a toothpick.
He peed in his mouth for like a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like some of these are impressive. This is kind of impressive, the candle thing. But like that's silly. The pee thing.
And he's not making these up. He's breaking established records.
These existing records. Yeah.
Yes, something that's already out there.
Somebody very bored at one time did this, and now he's breaking the record.
You know who we can get to break this candle record is the mouth lady.
Oh,
that'd be great.
God.
You should try it at the toy drive.
Right.
Ramsdell. Yeah.
Sam Ramsdell.
Right.
Yeah. Follow her on Instagram. She's hysterical.
We got one candle, like 150 wicks on it.
He held 150 candles in his mouth for 30 seconds. They were all lit. The previous record was 105.
How did that burn your nose?
I don't know. They must be very long.
Long candles, I'm thinking, yeah.
They were. They were very thin and very long.
Oh, wow. So they were like birthday candles.
No.
Yeah, because
you don't want to try the table candles.
Yeah, you don't want that. No, you'll fit like 5 in there.
Exactly.
Right.
Let's hear the audio.
The most lit candles held in the mouth. They've got to be held for 30 seconds.
Ready?
Start.
Start.
30.
30.
30. Oh. Yeah.
Tangible example that if you set your mind to a goal, believe in yourself, and pursue the passion, you can accomplish virtually anything, even if there's no need to do it.
That's pretty good.
I've burned his tongue like he's revving up.
He does sound French.
Right.
Inspector Clouseau.
That's when they translated Frankenstein into French.
Right.
It's alive.
Yes. It's Frankenstein.
You know, AJ's reaction to this story was, now I know what I'm doing Monday.
Yep.
Really?
Stunt or stupid?
Yeah, why not? Got to find those candles, though. Where do you find those candles?
I'm
open to suggestion, people. Where do I find those candles?
I would
long
start at like
long
Christmas tree shop or something.
Long, thin candles.
They have to be really long.
Yeah.
You can't burn that hair of yours, which extends like 4 inches off the front of your head.
I'm like a battleship. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
It is.
Shut up, Phil.
It's like an awning.
Shut up, Phil.
You do.
I add to it.
It's almost like you have a baseball visor.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Hey.
Built into your hair.
On sunny days, I can see fine.
It's almost like whiskers.
So
you
back
could,
to the candles.
In the dark, you can kind of feel your way around the room.
Exactly, right?
Just you know when you're about
big
to
enough.
Hit a wall.
Right.
If you ever become a poker player, you don't need to get one of those visors.
I'm poking the head in a second.
What were people saying? You posted a picture of yourself in the truck.
Vanilla ice.
Vanilla
ice. Yeah.
Pez dispenser. Looks like some
I'm
kind
call
of
a Pez
lid.
Dispenser. Who said that? I get 2 vanilla ices.
All right, but if you don't get long candles, that
yeah, kafoof, yeah, flambe,
kafoof,
kafoof,
whatever. Is there a name for that thing that extends off of your head?
Yeah, it's called my hair.
No, but have we nicknamed it?
No, we have not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I cut it back; it just keeps growing.
That's what happens with hair, generally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That means you're healthy.
Exactly.
You should actually not cut it back and just see how far it will go.
and covers my face like a sheepdog. Constantly blowing it up.
All right, you need long candles.
Long candles.
Long and thin.
Open suggestions. Where do I find long, thin candles?
Christmas tree shop. Start there.
That place, every time I go, they get in trouble.
How many times have you been there and gotten in
trouble?
Three times, and
all three times I almost got thrown out.
What happened?
But if you leave your cart for a friggin' second, some old lady comes by and takes it. What do you just? I had to go there to get the hats, the Santa hats for the.
You ever ask a question and realize you don't care what the answer is?
Yes, apparently so. Yes.
Mm.
So yes, I will go to the Christmas tree shop and look.
All right.
And if I get arrested, you guys bail me out.
Monday at 8:20.
Cool.
Why is it on me if you get arrested? That's on you.
Because I said so. My hair said so.
There's a house haunted by sexual ghosts.
Oh, hey.
That's the next headline.
Oh, sorry. I was still... My hair got my head. Sorry. All right, see you Friday.
I don't think we need to do this story.
Yes, we do.
This is a wildlife photographer looking for... like Connecticut's rarest snake.
Oh, okay.
It's Matt Lauterhan. Good morning.
Mark Lauterhan.
Like we said. Right. Mark.
Yes. Hi. Hey. And I'm sorry I'm not the neighbor that rescued that poor boy, but...
But you would have. You were there.
Yeah, if you were there.
I would have.
Yep.
Maybe for another story, I do have a bear encounter that was a little unsettling while I was searching for smooth green snakes and timber rattlesnakes, but that's for another story, and that happened a couple years ago. So I am that guy. I am your snake guy on the radio right now.
Hello, snake man.
Hello, snake guy.
What are you doing? You're looking for Connecticut's rarest snake?
Yeah, so, well, first of all, as a baseline, and there's no scientific proof of this, but I think people that are fascinated with reptiles, it's just the genetic disposition. You're just born like, I like snakes, and it starts at an early age. So if you have that as the baseline and you're a kid growing up, the most exciting snake, and it happens to be one of the rarest, is the smooth green snake. I mean, you guys probably have seen the images. It doesn't even look like it belongs in the Northeast. You have this emerald green snake that looks like it belongs in the tropics, but no, it exists in Connecticut, Massachusetts, up to Maine, and even up to Canada. So as a kid, you know, garter snakes are exciting. Little ringneck snakes are kind of exciting. But a bright green snake would be, it's the gem of all reptiles. As a kid growing up, and as I just mentioned, you're kind of born with this. So the passion actually grows as you get older. It's the secret to being a kid at heart your whole life. So if anybody, you know, other kids out there listening and you want to hold on to your childhood as long as possible and you're fascinated with reptiles, well, just, you know, hold on to that because I'm middle-aged now, but I act like a 9-year-old when I'm out in the woods chasing snakes.
I'm with you. Turtles, snakes,
turtles,
frogs,
snakes,
polywans.
Everybody likes turtles.
Yeah, turtles I like. Turtles I like. They're easy to handle.
I play with gardener snakes. I used to be able to just pick them up and, you know, let them wrap around my arms. I had one as a pet.
Those are
probably
okay.
Isn't cool.
No.
Those are okay.
I can't do any.
Anything after that, I'm out.
I'm with you.
Yeah, so there is like a hierarchy, like the small, common snakes. And I give a lot of credit to the reporter, Vince, who, you know, I'm used to, I have two groups of friends, family, friends that are not really into reptiles. And, of course, I have the hardcore niche reptile enthusiasts. You know, I post a lot of pictures. I have videos up on YouTube. And of course, most of the traffic is for other people that like snakes. But Vince, a science reporter, he's like, you know, this is a unique snake. 90% of people are indifferent or loathe snakes. But this emerald green slender snake is in a different category. And he had thought, like, well, I hate to use the term layperson, but he thought that his readers would be like, well, maybe I don't like snakes, but this is kind of unique, this green snake living in New England. And the reaction has been, pretty amazing. I have spent many hours in the last week or so just corresponding with people, and not snake people necessarily, but about 40 to 50% of the people are just, hey, I remember growing up as a kid in such and such a town in Connecticut or Massachusetts and running across these these snakes.
But I've never seen them. Yeah, are they poisonous?
Yeah, it made an impression.
Yeah, are they poisonous?
They are not poisonous, but the correct term, and I have to say it because I have a bunch of snake people listening to this, it's venomous.
Yes.
So the real quick difference is poison is usually something that you ingest, say, like mushrooms.
Venomous
is injected into the bloodstream.
Right.
But no, they rarely bite. They're actually insect eaters.
Okay, so
Which is rare. I mean, other species of snakes will eat insects and other invertebrates.
How did they get here?
On insects, which makes them just so. In that article, I had mentioned that part of the rarity with these snakes is a lot of them were actually harmed by DDT back in the 50s and 60s, because that was sprayed for insects. So as it moves up, that poison moves up the food chain from insects to snakes. They think that a lot of the snakes were, dramatically affected their populations because of the DDT. But
Mark's a wildlife photographer on talking about Connecticut's rarest snake.
Yeah.
You said you had a bear encounter?
Yeah. You want to hear that real quick?
Sure. I'd love to.
Yeah.
So what's really unique about bears, everybody always asks what kind of bear it was. We only have black bears in New England once in a while. If I have a couple of beers, I'm like, and polar bears, just to throw something in the mix. And people look at me
just
sideways.
To mess with them. Yes.
But anyway, so I've done a lot of research on black bears and brown bear attacks, because it's a disturbing but also fascinating topic. So you've always have heard, I'll get right to the bear story, but this is a good, background of the bear's behavior, especially black bears. So you've always heard, if a bear attacks you, you play dead, right? That is mostly true for brown, a.k.a. grizzly bears, because most grizzly bear attacks, it's mothers defending their young or bears defending a cache of food. They'll often eat food and then store some of it away.
Yeah.
With black bears, even though there's more minor attacks with black bears, these are usually referred to as problem black bears, campground raiders, garbage raiders.
Yeah.
And they just become bold around humans and will swipe and bite at humans. But just to push them away, hey, I come here every night. It's Tuesday. It's garbage night. I'm eating your garbage. Just stay away. However, approximately 1 in 1 million black bears that do attack you, it's for predation. And in that case, there's a big difference between a bear swiping at you, even though that could cause, some injury, that a bear is toppling on you and, clawing and trying to rip at you.
And that's what happened.
That black bear in predation.
That's so what happened to the 10-year-old, correct?
So,
I think
I wasn't there, but for the reports coming through, this is why this is such a disturbing case, that it seems like it was predation. If that is accurate, that the bear was dragging the child, off the property into the woods, because that's what most predators do. They attack, injure, and or kill, and just try to remove the prey so it's, out of sight from other potential predators.
Right, this is mine. I'm taking it. Yeah.
Yeah. So in that 1 in 1 million case, you actually fight back. So with a brown bear, you play dead. With a black bear, you fight back. So anyways, I've had numerous encounters with black bears, some problem black bears, some very bold bears that are just coming to steal food. But there's one particular case very close to where we found the smooth green snakes. I was actually going to a timber rattlesnake spot. They overlap in their habitat up in this area. And I was with my friend Sarah. We're hiking up the ridge, and she hears, it sounds like a bee movie, a twig crack right behind her. And she turns around, and there's a huge, 275-pound male black bear that was pacing us, and it was only 10 feet behind us. So this is afternoon. It wasn't fall or anything, so it wasn't like this bear was seeking food to steal from us. I just had a bad vibe because this bear had heard us talking, hiking through the woods, and then went out of its way to circle, flank us, and go behind us. So at that case, I was like, wow, this is, well, I might as well get some good pictures, right?
Right.
And the last ones.
Could be the last one.
Right. What a great thought.
Here's a real close-up of the teeth.
Yeah, how I went out.
I'm like, finally, I have something that can go viral and I can make a few bucks for my family. And they'll be proud of me. No. So it stays put. Normally I'm used to bears once you give them eye contact, and I start taking out my big lens that, like, scares them off, and it scares my kids when I take out the big lens. Like, oh, Daddy's going to be taking a million pictures.
Run!
Yeah.
Boring!
Right.
But anyway, so this bear just kind of stays 10 or 15 feet behind us. I take a couple pictures, and it starts slowly circling us, but maintaining that 10 or 15-foot distance. And I'm like, I've never had a bear behave like this. What is it doing? Usually after a minute or two, everything's decided, like, all right, these are two adult humans. I just kind of want to check them out, and I'm just going to go on my way. And then all of a sudden, after about 8 or 10 minutes of it slowly circling us, it stops, looks directly at me, and starts walking, not fast, but at a confident stride, directly towards me.
Oh, get the camera.
And I start screaming at, you know, you don't run away or anything.
Right.
You face it down. But I'm, like, screaming, like, no bear, no bear.
Right.
And it stopped, but it was only four or five feet from me. So it backs off, and then for another 10 minutes, it's doing this 10, 15-feet perimeter around us, and then it walks directly towards me again and a little bit faster and got within 3 or 4 feet, and I'm really screaming, and it had stopped and it had backed off, and then a few more minutes, it finally sauntered off and further into the woods, but...
Wow.
I was wondering if that...
Thankfully, you got a bear that spoke English.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I think the universal language would be, because I had my hiking pole and I was, like, getting ready. I'm like, I guess I'll just smack it on the head and hopefully, but.
Have you talked to people about that? What was that all about?
So I tried to reach out to bear biologists. I kind of just threw it out there on social media, and, you know, I thought I'd get like a million comments of, but people sort of seemed stumped. What I think was happening is the bear was just testing. I think it's a large male that has taken down large prey, like full-grown deer, and was just like, let me test this. And, you know,
wow,
what
right.
do I have going on here? What's their sizing us up? We're standing our ground, which made it kind of both passive-aggressive, not really sure what to do. The way to look at it, and this is scary, but every single day there's mountain lions eyeing people, whether women running by on a trail or someone on a bicycle. And they eye people, and they're like, no, just in 99% of the time, it's just too much of a risk for them getting injured attacking adult humans. And that's why, unfortunately, for this boy, it was probably a circumstance that maybe a month ago this bear wouldn't have done it. Winter's coming.
Yeah.
It just
right.
saw an opportunity. And they'll do an autopsy on the bear to see if there's something wrong with it. But, again, it happens. It's one in a million. Approximately, but it what's disturbing about this is it usually happens in more remote areas like
Let
Canada.
Let me just reset. Then I have a question to ask you. Mark Lauterhand is on Wildlife Photographer. I can't wait to see some of your work.
Yeah.
But what did you think about that bear attack in Southbury like 4 or 5 years ago? It was a pony or a small horse.
Yeah.
That makes more sense because, again, some of these large males will take down, all bear will eat ungulates, hooved animals. It's like on their prey list. So smaller bears will take, you know, young deer, fawns, but large males will take full-grown ungulates, hooved animals. So one going after a pony or a similar related animal, that's kind of in their MO, like in their prey scheme of things. And that's another reason why they often don't attack people, usually because we're just weird looking. We're bipedal and awkward and, you know, something new on the scene, evolutionarily speaking.
Right.
And, you know, now we just have, there's more people, there's more bears, there's going to be more interactions. And it just comes down to statistics, like all the sharks in Cape Cod, you're going to have attacks that are just going to pop up occasionally, but statistically, you know, you're much more likely to get in a car accident going to the beach in the first place, getting a shark attack. You're much more likely to fall down your stairs and break your neck than going out for the hike you planned on and getting attacked by a bear. So that doesn't offer reassurance for that boy who now is probably going to be terrified for the rest of his life,
That's
unfortunately.
Right. Yeah.
It's going to scar him, and hopefully he gets, you know, some psychological help over the years, and he can, you know, enjoy nature at least on some degree.
How dangerous are copperheads to people if you get bit by one? What should you do?
Yeah, so they're considered, everything's relative. So if you're otherwise healthy, you have no allergic reaction, and you get a decent dose from a copperhead venom, it's dangerous but not life-threatening. In fact, there's no real or a very rare fatality. I think someone a couple years ago literally fell on two copperheads that bit him multiple times, I think in Missouri, and in that case, that was fatal. Or if you have an allergic reaction, anaphylactic shock. But I always make this analogy. If you were to just cut your finger off right now, that's pretty bad. You got to go to the hospital. But the chances of you dying, your finger just cut off, even though you're going to lose blood, there's the remote possibility of infection if you don't get it taken care of. It's a very, very serious injury that you're like, well, I gotta leave the radio show. I gotta go to the hospital. I have to get this taken care of. You can't really ignore it. A copperhead bite is similar in that regard, that as long as you get to the hospital and you're monitored, and then they decide at some point you do need antivenin, then it's dangerous but not life-threatening.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
It's unlikely that you're going to have long-lasting effects. But, again, if you're a small child, you have other medical, you know, there's always exceptions, other medical issues. It could be, you know, very serious.
Just don't get bit.
Timber rattlesnakes are, it's very similar venom, but the venom load is greater, so it's more serious, but usually not life-threatening. Everybody always asks, like, oh, how much time do you have? I'm like, well, just get to the nearest hospital. Like, you'll be
right.
You'll probably be okay.
Tourniquet, what do you do?
Right.
You get bit in the leg, you tie a tourniquet?
No tourniquet.
You start to poison
out? That's like kind of outdated advice, is because the venom isn't so toxic that you really kind of want that to start flowing through your body a little bit and not be concentrated, so you're bit on the hand. You don't want to lock all of that venom in your limb, because it would just build up, and the chances of you suffering from serious necrosis or possibly losing your hand.
That's scary.
So, Mark, I got a roll. I love this chat we're having. Is there a website folks can go to look at your work and learn more about you?
If you just Google my name, I'm on Flickr, of course, social media platforms. I do have a YouTube channel. Recently, I did a whole documentary on timber rattlesnakes. So I put a lot of work into that. Circling back to the smooth green snakes, this reporter had reached out to me because I kind of threw out this small trailer, like, oh, this is something I'm going to work on.
Unfortunately. We got to have you back because I love your stories.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We can talk.
Mark Lauderhan.
Turtles.
Wildlife photographer.
Well, I want to thank you guys both for reaching out and having me on this. I'm really excited how the article took off in a positive way, and I'm not necessarily labeled as that weird snake guy. It's like, wow.
No, you're
I'm
a talker.
You're
labored as a talker.
You're good, you.
House in Texas is said to be haunted by ghosts who tend to be very sexual.
All right.
Whoa.
Rumor has it that back in the day, the house used to be a bordello.
Oh, there you go.
Makes sense, I guess.
I mean,
well, did these people die in the
during the act?
Yeah, right. During the
right.
Act.
Right.
I mean, it would make sense.
Oh, he's a stiff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you're gonna have ghosts, they might as well be sexual.
The house owner Linda Hill talking about some of the sexy things the ghosts have whispered in her ear.
I'm turned on.
Sexual. No other way to put it. He said, oh baby, yeah. Yeah, I like it like that. It really is haunted.
Wow, she thought long and hard about that one.
Home, long and hard, I get it. Ah!
Sorry. Yeah, if you're going to make this up, shouldn't you make up a better story?
Yeah, oh, baby, oh, baby, yeah.
Yeah, I like it like that.
Right? Sounds like lyrics for a song. Like
you guys
rap
don't
song.
Say that?
Yeah, isn't there that song?
yo, baby, yeah. It's like a rap song.
Baby, I like it. That's Enrique.
That was it.
I just think of that ghost in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
The Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Yep. When it hovered.
Usually ghosts are scary. Not right. This one.
That's what made his eyes cross.
Yeah, you just see the belt go.
Yep.
Why is she doing this? Is she, you know, she making money off of this somehow?
Oh, people do this, especially this time of year. They go and they look for like a haunted bed and breakfast or like an inn to stay in. People do look for these experiences for sure.
I do the exact opposite.
Me too.
I'm like, ghost, gone.
Lock the door. Yep.
This is definitely a thing for some people. Yes.
Oh, yeah. People love haunted.
Yeah, there was a restaurant in Seymour. I can't think of the name of it, but the whole deal was it was haunted. It was one of these really old Victorians. Now it's some hairdressing place or whatever. But the guy...
Scary hairstyles.
So scary in another way.
What happened to your hair? Yeah.
But the guy, it was a guy and a wife, and the guy would always be out in the dining room telling stories. And one night I was in there with another couple, and they brought us upstairs.
Oh, Sam,
and it was the creepiest friggin' attic, and there was like these dolls, and I'm like, man, this guy's. I think I'm more scared of the guy
right.
than I am of the ghost in the house.
Because he's into it.
Yeah.
He's into it. He's got weird stuff.
Yeah.
And he's making like little weirdo comments.
Oh,
I'm more scared of the check. How much is this going to cost me now?
Cheers, AJ.
I didn't ask for this.
Hi.
Hey, it's Bill from Greenwich. I stayed in the Strader Hotel in Durango with my kids. It was terrifying.
Where is this?
No room service?
In Durango, Colorado.
Durango.
What's it called?
It was the Strader Hotel.
Oh, I can't go there, I guess.
Right. There's a Curver and then there's a Strader.
There's a lot of things you don't like about that place.
It's a rude name.
Yeah, you're out of there.
S-T-R-A-T-E-R.
Right.
Can you look that up, Phil?
Sure.
Why were you scared?
Yeah, what happened?
Well, my kids were in one room. I was in the other. They were freaked out. The backpack fell off the bed. There's just all these, like, you know, I don't know if it was 12-year-old things that were going on over there or what, but the next day they were sleeping the entire day because they were just scared stiff.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Awake all night.
Ugh.
I don't like that.
It happens to hotels all the time.
It's an old Western hotel, so there's like bullet holes in the ceiling. I mean, it's a cool place for sure. It dates back to the 1850s.
Right.
Definitely.
We're losing you. Thank you.
Awesome.
Did you look it up?
Yeah. This is from a website called Wander with Wonder. In historic downtown Durango, Colorado, stands 4-story red brick Victorian era hotel, the Strader Hotel. Built on the rail line. Where is the haunting part? Ghost stories. It is no wonder that such a stately hotel with a long history is also rumored to be home to some ghosts. According to hauntedplaces.org, the Strader Hotel, built directly on the railroad line. He told us that already. In the late 19th century, is believed to be haunted by many apparitions, including railroad figures. Oh. People walking through the alley adjacent to the hotel have seen the ghostly figure of a man with a white shirt standing on the railroad tracks who vanishes suddenly.
And when they do, they haunt all livelong day. Come on, that was fun.
It was.
I waited for that line.
I laughed. You got it.
VoyageVixens.com counts the Strader as one of America's 10 most haunted hotels.
Wow. Are ghosts stupid? So we got me.
Don't ask this thing. Don't put that in the world.
I have no idea.
We got mean, evil ghosts.
Yeah.
You got Casper, the friendly ghost.
Right. Are they dumb ghosts?
Are there stupid ones?
I have no idea.
They're sexual ones.
We should ask.
A sexual ghost?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Are there
great.
Stupid ones?
Right, the sexual ghosts have their shirt half open with a chain.
Oh, my God, you don't even know how to scare people right.
I guess it depends on the person.
Right.
If they weren't smart.
Yeah, if you were stupid in real life. And then you die, and your ghost stays behind or whatever. Are you stupid?
Yeah, you don't suddenly gain the knowledge of the universe,
right? So I'm guessing if you're horny in real life and you die, you're a sexual ghost.
I'd be a very big sexual ghost. That's what would happen.
I think a place
like this, they have ghost book diaries. So, like, if you stay in a room, you're supposed to fill in, like, if you have an experience. I feel like people are more inclined to do that if they see other people. It's like a competition now.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know how many sightings Hello? Have actually happened. You know?
Hi.
Hello. This is a ghost.
Jazz and AJ.
Where did that voice come from?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi.
What?
I'm going.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.